Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
So we're always going to be followers and looking to Jesus as our example. That never changes. But there has to come a time when we recognize and realize that we have been sent out and we are those that bear the message of Jesus Christ. It tells us that Peter is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter, eyewitness. He saw the life of Christ. He saw the sufferings of Christ. And more importantly, he saw the resurrection of Christ.
Listening to Bible teaching or hanging out with fellow believers in worship and fellowship are wonderful things. For many believers, that's the extent of their spiritual lives. But God has more for us. He has a bigger purpose for you. Just like Peter, you're called to take the gospel out of the walls of the church. As Pastor Michael will challenge you in today's message, you're called to live it out. That's going to be uncomfortable at times, but God will empower and equip you when you trust in Him. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
I always do this when I start a book. I need to talk about who wrote the book, where it came from, who he's writing to, all that stuff. Because as we dive into this over the next month and a half or so, the book of Peter, these are going to be things that help us sort of understand what's being written here. I bet you can't guess who wrote the book. Peter. It's funny, most Bible scholars, I've been studying this like crazy, but most Bible scholars really agree that Peter wrote the book, but there's a few that don't. And one of these guys in 1947, T.W. Bear, and T.W. Bear said, there's no way Peter could have ever written this book because it's too eloquent, it's too perfect, it's too well written, and everybody knows, this is what Bear says, everybody knows that Peter was a bumbling, big, huge fisherman, and there's no way he could have written something as powerful and as awesome and as eloquent and beautiful and clear as the books of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And, you know, of course, if we believe the Holy Spirit carried along Peter as he wrote this, and so that would have helped him. But I'm a firm believer that Peter wrote this book. And if you want, you don't have to, but if you can keep your finger here in Peter and look back at the book of Acts, chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you've got two of the disciples, John and Peter. These guys are part of the inner circle, okay? They were close friends with Jesus, all right? And Peter and John are in the city. They're preaching the message of Jesus Christ. And you read at the beginning of chapter 4 that literally 5,000 people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like, this is amazing, right? We read this and it's like, what? Can you imagine if 5,000 people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight in Telluride? That'd be the bomb, right? Anyway, so that's what happened here. 5,000 people come to know Jesus and the authorities are not liking it, okay? Especially the spiritual leaders of the time. And so they come down on these guys and they're like, you have to stop preaching and doing and propagating your message in the name of Jesus. You have to stop it. And so this is when they drop the great line where it says, we can't stop. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. It's only Jesus. Like, we got to preach Jesus, right? And then right after they say that very famous line, which is found in verse 12 of chapter 4, you see verse 13. And I love this verse. It says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that cool? You know, Peter and John, uneducated, untrained guys, but even the spiritual leaders, these are guys who've got the Old Testament memorized, recognized something about these two men. The boldness that they have to stand up and do what they're doing in this name, and they're not stopping, man. And the boldness that they have, but also they recognize, I love it, that they had been with Jesus. You know, they had 3 years, some Bible scholars think 3.5 years, Peter and John had walked with Jesus, the rabbi. So forget for a second, which is hard to do, but that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Forget that for a minute. He was a profound speaker. He was a profound rabbi that crowds of people would amass to come and hear him. The Bible tells us many times that the common people heard him gladly, or they were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their scribes and Pharisees. So Jesus was someone who was incredibly brilliant. Forget the fact that he's Messiah, he's the Son of God, because he is absolutely that. But these guys got to sit under him. Peter got to sit and follow Jesus. He heard incredible teachings and revelations of the Old Testament that no one was saying back then. So I think Jesus had a reputation amongst these spiritual leaders, even though they did have him murdered and everything. But they're recognizing that Peter and John here had been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. Hanging out with Jesus will make you a smarter person. I really believe that. I don't think you need to have a PhD and a master's degree and all that stuff to understand the scriptures. Just hang out with Jesus. And he does this thing where he gives you he stirs us up in this hunger for his word. But anyway, I love that. So Peter here, in the very first line, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go real slow here. But apostle is a Greek word, apostolos, okay? And it literally means this. It means those that are sent out. Okay. Now we know that Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, just like John and all the rest of those guys, the 12, they were disciples. What is that? A disciple is pretty much what we are here tonight. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are those that want to sit under Rabbi Jesus and learn from him. We want to look to him as our example in life. And so we're listening to his teaching. We're soaking that up. We are his disciples, right? Hopefully. But there came a time in Peter's life when he stopped being known as Peter the disciple and he became Peter the apostle. He's still a disciple. He's still a follower of Jesus. I believe he's still learning of Jesus. But now he has been sent out. Okay? We find it in the very last chapter of the book of John. I think it's chapter 21. And Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and he looks out, and he's on the shore, and remember, he tells the guys on the boat, they've been fishing all night, can't catch anything, and he's like, throw the net on the other side of the boat, and they don't know it's Jesus. And I imagine they're thinking, we're professionals, dude. We don't know who you are, but take off. And so they're like, whatever. So they throw it in there, and then they pull in all these fish, and Peter realizes, it's Jesus! And he jumps off the boat and swims to shore like Forrest Gump does in the movie when he sees Lieutenant Dan on the dock, remember? And he just leaves the boat and he jumps. Remember that scene? Woo! I love that scene. Anyway, that's Peter. Peter jumps into the water, swims over there, and then Jesus has the campfire going and they're cooking fish, and he does the famous vignette where he says, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And Peter's like, you know I love you. And he goes, well, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. In other words, get out there. Be an apostle. I am sending you out to bring the message to the world. And so there comes a time, gang, in our lives too, when we have to, we're always going to be learners. We're always going to be followers and looking to Jesus as our example. That never changes. But there has to come a time when we recognize and realize that we have been sent out and we are those that bear the message of Jesus Christ. Yeah, in chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us that Peter is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter, eyewitness. He saw the life of Christ. He saw the sufferings of Christ. And more importantly, he saw the resurrection of Christ. And those guys were radically altered when they saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? The fact that he is alive is what Peter would go and be in Rome. He would be crucified, church history tells us, on a cross like Jesus. But then he said, I don't deserve to be crucified like my Lord. They took the cross out of the ground, turned it upside down, and dropped it into the hole. And he supposedly, this is how church history tells it, that Peter was crucified upside down and died in a much quicker time, bled to death. Okay, so Why would someone do that? Because he had seen Christ come back to life. Amen? And there's something about that, gang, that changed all of these people. Because he lives, remember this one? I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives, right? It's because he lives, man. Life's worth the living. I just love that. These old songs are really good, and I'll bring them up every once in a while. But so Peter was someone whose life was changed. We also know that his name wasn't always Peter, right? It was started out being Simon. Simon in that original language is very interesting. It means one who hears, or hearing, literally. And you remember the story? Jesus is there, and he goes, "Hey, guys. Crowds of people are coming, and they're leaving, and they're coming, and they're leaving." And Jesus goes, "Guys, who do people say that I am?" Like, I'd like to know. Well, you guys are out there in the crowd. You're pressing the flesh. Who do people say that I am? And they're like, "Oh, some people think you're Elijah, the prophet." And someone else says, "Well, some people think maybe you're John the Baptist. You know, he just got beheaded, but maybe they think you're him." And Jesus is like, yeah. Time out. Let me ask you this way. Who do you guys say that I am? And Peter, or Simon at this point, pipes up and he goes, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And everybody, I can just imagine everybody in the group is like, "What? What did you just say? You're the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer, the one that God has been promising through all the Old Testament prophets to come and save the day. You're him. The Son, S-O-N, of the living God." And Jesus drops this on him, right? He says, "You're not that smart, Pete. Flesh and blood, your brain didn't come up with that, bro. My Father in heaven revealed that to you, didn't he? And from now on, you're not one who just hears. You're not Simon anymore, but you're Petra or Peter, a rock." I love that. You're solid. You're somebody that you don't just hear, you're going to be a doer, right? You're going to get stuff done. James chapter 1, I think it's verse 20 or 22, it's right around there, but it says, "Be not hearers of the word only, but what? Doers. Be doers. Don't just be hearers." Peter became a massive doer. Okay, not just a hearer. So I just think that's kind of cool. He is known as the apostle to the Jews, whereas Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, and you know, you say, what's the big deal? It's sort of a big deal when you understand who Peter is writing to. You can keep a thumb here if you want to. You don't have to, but in the book of Galatians, I think it's Galatians chapter 2, Paul is writing here to a church in Galatia, and he says this in 2:7 of Galatians. He says, "On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised. Since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles." So uncircumcised, circumcised speaks of the Jewish people who had the Abrahamic covenant, which was proven by circumcision. So this is what Paul is saying in Galatians. He's like, Peter was the apostle to the circumcised. That's the Jewish people, okay? Paul uniquely was called to the Gentile nation, okay? You say, well, what's the big deal? Paul always wanted to go to Rome, right? Always. And God kept sidetracking him. He'd drop him in this town and in this place and on this island and shipwreck him or whatever. But Paul constantly wanted to go. Why did he want to go to Rome? Because it was full of uncircumcised Gentiles. Somebody asked me one time, what is a Gentile? Gentile is everybody that's not a Jew. There it is. There's no land of Gentile. There's just, if you were not a Jew, you're in that category. You're a Gentile. Yeah. Okay. So Paul just wanted to go where the Gentiles was. You know what's so funny? Paul spent most of his ministry in Jerusalem and where the Jews were. Here he is, self-proclaimed, "I'm an apostle to the Gentiles," Paul, and yet he spent most of his time with the Jews. Isn't that interesting? And then Peter is writing this book right here. he's writing it from, and if you go to, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5, around verse 13, he mentions the people of Babylon. He's writing from Babylon. Babylon is also known to be Rome. Babylon was another name, and you can read Book of Revelation, verses 13 through 18 to see proof of that. But Babylon is likened to Rome. So many Bible scholars believe that Peter spent most of his time in Rome where the Gentiles were. You say, Michael, who cares? It's kind of funny. The apostle to the Jews spends his time where the Gentiles are, and the apostle to the Gentiles spent most of his time where the Jews are. Here's the point. We humans are never happy with where we're at. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, God, how come, you know, God, make me, Michael, I want to be an apostle to the Hawaiians. Send me, Lord, I will go, you know. And God's like, no, Michael, you are going to be in here, you know, wherever I'm planting you. Telluride's not a bad place to be planted, by the way. But you see what I'm saying? But it's so, I meet so many, especially in ministry, pastors, youth pastors and associate pastors, like, I just want to plant my own church. I want to do my own thing. And I always used to tell them, I'd say, bloom where you are planted first. We always want to go somewhere else. I just want to go to Rome. Yeah, you need to do what bloom where I've planted you, Paul. Bloom where I've planted you, Peter. I want to be planted in Hawaii. No. Just maybe God plants you right in the middle of this desert-like job. And you're going, I would really rather be somewhere else, Lord. And God says, you spend so much time whining and complaining. How about you be happy and bloom where I've planted you? Now, the Bible also has another scripture, which is kind of crazy. And it says this, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So I believe that's true, but I believe we must be content in all things and bloom where God's planted us first and foremost. Amen? All right, I am so far away from all my notes, but that's all right. So we're almost through the first line. Can you guys believe this? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's an apostle. Another word for apostle, it would be this, messenger. It would be, ready? Ambassador. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I could even say we're messengers for Christ. We're apostles for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this, though. This is 2 Corinthians 5, 20. He says, we're ambassadors for Christ since God is making his appeal through us. Could you chew on that line forever? God is making his appeal through us. That's crazy. We plead, he says, on Christ's behalf. Here, and then it's in quotes. It says, this is what we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I love that scripture too. But think about that. We are ambassadors. Our message is this to the world. We're pleading with them on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. What does that mean? That's a big word, reconciled. It means this. You were once together. Your relationship was rocking great. But now it's been separated. There's a problem between you and God. It's called sin. Isaiah the prophet tells us about this. He says this, your iniquity, which is another big word for sin, your iniquities have separated you from God. So there's this problem. What's our message as ambassadors? It is, you got to be reconciled. Get your relationship straight with the Lord, man. You can do it. How? He who became sin, he who knew no sin, became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, I think, tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's nothing. We needed Jesus. We need him. So our message as ambassadors, Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle, this is his message. I want our ministry to be a bridge between God and people. We want people who have felt like there's this big chasm, we want to provide a way and show them that they can be reconciled to God. It is the message if you're a Christian. Our message is that people can have a right relationship with the Lord. Amen? One other thing about Peter that I'm going to share, and I think it's important for us to know, is that our Roman Catholic friends, they believe Peter was the first pope. Okay? They believe that because of the scripture that I shared with you out of Matthew 17, when Jesus said, your name is Peter now, it's not Simon, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And because Peter means rock. And so they say, that's it. That's where God built the church, right there on the shoulders of Peter. Peter was the first pope, okay? And so to this day, if you go to Rome, I think it's St. Peter's Basilica there, there's a huge, Michelangelo has carved a beautiful statue of Peter, and people all day long, from the time they open to the time they close, people are filing by and they're kissing the feet of Michelangelo's statue, okay? So much so that one of the big toes is gone. It's gone. That's a lot of kissing. So they highly, I guess the word is venerate, they highly look up to Peter as being the first pope. Now, I'm going to tell you, we obviously do not believe that. I believe that when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, he was talking about the solid rock statement that Peter just made. Who do you say that I am? You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock, right there, I'll build my church. So I don't care if you have a tag outside your church that says Baptist or Lutheran or Methodist or Presbyterian. I don't care. A good Bible-believing, solid rock church, if I can say it that way, is going to be one that Jesus is the center. He is the Son of the living God. That's the statement, the fact that church should be built on. Does that make sense? So then we went crazy and you know, we've got the Pope and all this other stuff. And it's so funny too, because the truth is, and they'll tell you this, and again, Roman Catholic friends, they'll tell you that Peter was the first Pope because he was there in Rome. He was the first guy. They have this whole St. Peter's built there. The truth is, Paul was there before Peter. This was written about 64 AD. Peter was hung upside down, murdered at around 66 AD. Okay, so Paul was there before that time. And I take you in the book of Romans, chapter 15, around verse 20, it says, Paul says, he goes, I determined, sort of Paul's philosophy about ministry, Romans 15, 20, he says, I determined when I went somewhere, I didn't want to build on anybody else's foundation. In other words, I was the first one that went in there with the message. So because we know that about Paul, we can assume that Paul was the first one in Rome. He's not even the first guy that was there, and yet Peter is the one that they built the church for and stuff. Anyway, this entire letter, this epistle, as well as the second one, I've got a theme, and I'm just calling it this. It's hope in a world that's not our home. Peter is the apostle to the Jews, but he's also called the apostle of hope. He's always drawing people's attention to heaven. You're going to see it again and again and again, and I'll bring it up every time. But he's the apostle of hope in a world. And by the way, 64 AD, when he's writing this, you need to understand the climate of the church. There was a dude named Caesar Nero. He was a nasty, nasty individual. He was murdering Christians left and right, in all kinds of horrific ways. He was crucifying them, lining the roads with their bodies. It was said of Nero that he would take Christians, because we called ourselves the light of the world, he would dip them in hot wax and light them on fire in his garden. And then at nighttime, he would ride his chariots in and out of the wax figures of the Christians. I mean, disgusting things with, throwing them to the lions and all the stuff that we see in the movies. Caesar Nero. These are the days that the Christians, our brothers and sisters, by the way, gang, when you get to heaven, which could be like tomorrow night, and you're going to remember, I said this yesterday, you're going to be sitting at the dinner table. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're all going to be chilling together.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage of 1 Peter that Pastor Michael discussed and use it to fuel your own conversations with the Lord. There's so much to learn from this New Testament book, and we're so glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today as you were listening, you realized there's something missing, some piece of this life that doesn't really fit. Maybe it's time to learn more about Jesus and how he can radically transform your life. If that sounds like you, then take a moment right now to visit our website, thealpinechapel.com. Under the menu, you'll find a page called Something Missing, and it's going to fill in that gap. You'll find out all about who Jesus is and what his plans are for you and why you need him so much. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Would you let us know, too? We'd love the chance to talk with you more and answer any questions you may still have. Just head to the contact page at our website and send us a quick email. We also want to encourage you to get involved in a Bible-teaching church in your area. If your area happens to be Telluride, why not come join us this weekend at the Alpine Chapel? We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m., and we're easy to find. Visit thealpinechapel.com for directions. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. That officially brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in to Burning Hearts.